Welcome to the Selfish Mom Podcast, a podcast for you so you don't get burnt out like a mother. I'm your host, Allie Kay, and this is the Selfish Mom Podcast. Learn to prioritize your mental and physical health first so we can thrive and not just survive. Let's take action, become our best selves together, and redefine selfish as the most selfless thing we could do. Welcome to the Selfish Mom Podcast. I am your host, Allie Kay, and on this episode, we are going to talk all things weight loss. Why aren't you losing the weight? Maybe you want to start losing weight. Maybe you're in that postpartum phase where you just want to drop the baby weight. Maybe you're continuing to gain weight every single year. Whatever your situation is, and you want to learn more about weight loss, this is the episode for you, so stick around. Important to start this episode off by saying I am obviously not a doctor. I am not a medical professional, but what I am is someone who has experienced weight loss at many different phases of my life and at different ages as well. And we'll talk about a little more what I mean about that. But this episode is really my perspective on weight loss that I think is a little different than what we're learning about and hearing or have been conditioned to believe weight loss is all about. So if you are interested in my perspective, I am going to share all the details and really share what has worked with me the past 5 years. Now, if you're not familiar with me, I lost over 70 pounds a couple years ago, and I documented this whole weight loss journey. This was really the start of my journey. And if you're interested in hearing more about that, we have an episode. It's called Just Start. And I share everything from day one to what worked, what didn't work, my takeaways at that point of my life. And now that it's been over 5 years, and again, I lost 70 pounds, and then of course I got pregnant, and I just went through the postpartum phase, losing over 45 pounds. I want to discuss more about what truly has worked for me and what I've connected with in regards to how to lose weight that has stuck with me through all seasons in my life. So let's dive into it. There's obviously a science behind weight loss in regards to you must consume less calories than you're burning. And that's really that numbers game. So a lot of times, you know, we say, hey, we want to lose weight. And the first thing that we do is we find whatever fad diet is working on the internet or our favorite fitness influencers say they're following. We go out to the grocery store. We buy all the things to be successful on the diet. And it's so extreme from what we're doing. You know, it's sweet potatoes and chicken and broccoli and cauliflower versus all the processed stuff, you know, the sugar that we're probably consuming in our everyday life. And then we say, okay, on Monday, this is it. I'm going to follow this meal plan, this workout plan perfectly, and I am going to drop the weight. And usually what happens is we start it off, you know, we're probably really strong day one, day two. Day three, we're getting like, is this real? Like, do we have to do this? By day four, we probably snuck a cookie in or binged at night. And then what happens is we're like, whatever, we'll just try this again next month, or we'll try this, you know, January 1st. And then we resort back to doing nothing to prioritize our mental and physical health. This is what I like to call that all or nothing thinking. It's a distorted type of thinking where we think things have to be perfect. Like we have to live this perfect lifestyle where we're not eating processed food and we're not eating sugar and we're going to the gym 30 minutes to an hour a day. You know, everything is very perfect, really extreme. And then when we can't sustain this very extreme, restricted lifestyle, we resort to doing nothing. And I think we're all guilty of this at some point in time. And I just want to point this out to you, that this is a distorted way of thinking, this all or thinking. So I really encourage you, if you have tried to lose weight in the past through diets or changing your lifestyle to an extreme, acknowledge and identify that all or nothing thinking that you started doing and become more aware of it. I'm really guilty of the all or nothing thinking as well. And this is another reason why I'm doing this podcast episode, because it hasn't worked for me. And I think I've truly have found something that has worked for me that isn't just a basic concept. It's something that is a basic concept to start upon, but then it evolves and builds upon. And I think that's what's really worked for me since day one when I initially started my 70-pound weight loss journey. So for me, tracking calories, you know, making sure that I'm consuming less than what I burn has not worked for me because it's just not sustainable. It didn't fit into my everyday life. I am a busy mom, just like you probably are. You know, we're running around with our heads chopped off, trying to just survive. And tracking calories just didn't add any value to my life. And another thing is, with tracking calories, I just felt like my mind was always focused on the food I was consuming. And it just became more of this mindset where this was consuming my life. And that I just don't think is healthy. I don't think it's sustainable. And I don't think it's productive for moms like us or just people like us. Obviously, it's very, very productive for people who are, you know, leveling up their fitness journey and have very specific fitness goals or bodybuilders and all the things. And that's what works for them. But I'm just talking about us everyday people where fitness is not really the end goal. It's more about, you know, we just want to feel better. We do want to prioritize our mental and physical health, but we're not trying to get all these gains right out the bat and become fitness models. So this is the perspective that I'm coming from, is that, you know, what we know to be true, like tracking calories and macros and all the things, yes, that works, but is that really sustainable and doable for someone who's just starting off? I know for me, that is so, like, the concept of macros and all the things, it's a very complicated topic, at least for me, that I didn't quite grasp because that's not really what I was interested in. What I have found for me is that I have become very interested in finding the correlation of my mood, my energy, my overall like mental health correlated with what I'm consuming in food. And I will dive a little deeper into this, but I just want to say this is kind of what I'm going to be sharing on this episode, more about how to find more of connections that are motivating because you know that certain movement or certain foods that you're consuming make you feel a certain way. And you'll make the correlation of what's bringing you up and loving you back and the stuff that's bringing you down and making you feel like you're in a slump and bloated and low energy and all the things. And this is what I want to dive deeper into. So the million-dollar question, how do you lose weight and be successful in losing weight and keep the weight off? So like I said, it's not this black and white answer, but I want to just start unraveling this heavy, complex question. The first thing I will say that I think has been so prominent in my journey is that we have to have an understanding of how, as women, our hormones affect us. And you know what I'm talking about. Like in high school, You bet I could go to McDonald's. I ordered a double cheeseburger meal with large fries, a Diet Coke, and I would have like a 10-piece chicken nugget on the side with barbecue sauce. I would eat all of that. I swear, I would eat all of this in one sitting, and I weighed less than 100 pounds. You know, I'm 5'1", I'm very petite, and I was less than 100 pounds in high school. I think I was like 98 pounds until I was 18, and that was the junk that I was consuming. If I even did that once during the week, you know, ordered a double cheeseburger meal, large fries with a 10-piece chicken nugget, my whole week would just be...
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
I would feel like crap, but not only would I just feel like crap, like you would see that on my ass for like a month. And you know what I'm saying? Like certain foods, you just feel it on your body. I immediately think of that commercial where it was like the woman going up the escalator and she had a donut and then they actually put like a donut on her butt. I don't know what they were advertising, but I remember watching that, you know, as like a 17, 16 year old woman and having no idea what that was alluding to. But fast forward to college, you know, we all hear about the freshman 15. Our metabolisms are slowing down. And as a result, our hormones are changing. And you can see your hormones change even after you have children. You know, hitting 40 is like a milestone. I know for me, like right now in my life, at 34, I can feel my hormones changing as well. And what I'm trying to say is, like I said, I am not a medical doctor, but I think as women, if you are not losing weight and you feel like you're doing all the things, I would highly recommend the first thing you go do is go get your blood tested and your hormones tested. I think it's really important to understand that your body cannot function properly if it's in a deficit of certain nutrients and vitamins, and if your hormones are all out of whack. So I just did my blood test for my hormones. I'm actually waiting for the results to come back. And I also did blood tests that, you know, test all my levels to see what's going on. And this is a perfect example where, like, if your hormones are out of whack, you're probably not going to be successful in losing weight. So that's the very first takeaway I want you to get from this, is go get your hormones tested and also go see, you know, if your body is deprived of anything. Another thing is we are probably all deprived of the adequate sleep that we need. And again, this goes back to if your body's not properly functioning, then other things can't fall in place. So I really encourage you to evaluate your sleep. What's going on with your sleep? One thing that I did just learn that is so ideal for me right now, especially in this time where I am trying to lose weight, is I have stopped eating around 6:30, 7 p.m. And you might be saying, Allie, is this intermittent fasting? And no, I do not do intermittent fasting. And the reason why I don't do intermittent fasting is because when I wake up in the morning, I am hungry and I listen to my body. My body needs fuel. Usually in the morning, I'm playing tennis or I'm doing some type of movement, workout, and my body wants to eat. You know, if my body does not have fuel to burn, then I'm worthless in that aspect. So intermittent fasting does not work for me. But what does work for me is cutting off eating around 6:30 at night. And the reason being is I go to bed early. I go to bed around like 9 p.m. But what I learned is when you consume a large meal right before bed, what happens is your body works overtime trying to break down this meal, and it's all taking place as we're trying to rest our bodies and go to sleep. So if you are someone who really, you know, maybe you're not eating throughout the day, and at 6, 7 p.m., that's when you're eating your largest meal for the day, and then you go to bed right after, and you're waking up super tired, your sleep might be compromised because you are eating such a large meal before bed. So I really encourage you, again, become aware of your quality of sleep and then ask yourself the question, you know, am I eating the largest meal right before I go to bed? And again, I am guilty of this because, you know, as moms and just as busy people, we're running around all day. We're putting ourselves on the back burner as far as, you know, not eating because we're so busy. That's just, you know, we tell ourselves we'll just eat later. And then we come home, we're starved, we binge, and, you know, we pass out for the night and we're probably getting crappy sleep. So again, these are things, that little tweaks that I have found in my life where it's like, I need my body to properly function. And so I'm getting my hormones tested regularly. I'm learning the levels in my body. I will say, you know, supplements are so important. And again, I am not a medical professional, and I'm going to have more guests that are to give their perspective, their professional advice as far as the supplements that you do take. But I will say, you know, some of the core supplements that I take are magnesium. There's a statistic out there that shares, you know, we are all deprived of magnesium due to, you know, our food sources, our water sources, the soil. We're deprived of magnesium and vitamin D. So those are like core of my supplements. I also take a probiotic. A probiotic supports your gut health. I will say I'm very regular when I take a probiotic. And again, your health starts in your gut. And we will discuss this all through the podcast. But I'm just sharing that, you know, these are core supplements and vitamins, like a multivitamin. I take a multivitamin as well. So multivitamin, magnesium, vitamin D3, and a probiotic are probably the core of my supplement routine. And again, when you test your levels, you might find out that your body needs more B12, and your medical professional might say, hey, you need to start taking a B12 vitamin. That was me when I was pregnant. Or maybe your magnesium iron is very low and they'll say supplement it. But again, at least you're getting the actual proof that you need to see that your body needs X, Y, and Z to properly function. And I think that all falls upon hormones as women. You know, obviously your blood work, what's going on with your blood work, and sleep. Sleep is so essential that our bodies are properly functioning in order to lose weight. So after you are aware if your body is functioning properly, what I really suggest is changing your perspective. Now, obviously, this is easier said than done, but this has been the biggest game changer in my success in losing weight and also keeping up my active lifestyle during pregnancy, when you know that is so hard. The perspective and the mindset that I have truly adopted, and I live by this. I believe it. You know, what you tell yourself is what you believe. And what I am telling myself is I must prioritize my mental and physical health through movement, through foods, because otherwise I will not be okay. I will feel like shit. My mental health will be compromised. I'll have anxiety. I'll go through all the depression phases that I used to go through. I will not be the mother that I want to be to my kids. I will not accomplish my goals and my dreams. I will not be the wife that I know is possible, or the daughter or friend, or just an overall decent person, if I am not prioritizing my mental and physical health through movement and food, and also working on developing my mindset and diving deep into personal growth, which I'll talk about more as well. So this is the perspective where it's deeper than weight loss. And the great thing is weight loss always follows after these type of mindset, because you make changes to support this mindset, you know, and weight loss follows. So if you are just focusing on weight loss, like that's all your mind is focusing on. And again, this is going back to like tracking the calories and macros and all the things where your life is just consumed with weight loss, you will not lose weight. You will not be successful. And maybe that's why you're not successful, because you're not connecting weight loss with any deeper move. Like meaning. So the first step after you're aware that your body is functioning properly is really make that connection of prioritizing your mental and physical health. And hey, you're listening to this podcast, you're being that selfish mom, so I know you want that in some type of way. And what I always encourage people to do, and I do this every couple of months, is I write a letter to myself. I write a letter to myself as far as how I'm currently feeling, what's working in my life, what isn't working. And then I kind of switch that letter to visualizing and really expressing with all my senses, feeling, touch, smell, all the things of who I want to be the next couple of months in my life. What is that person doing? What am I doing? You know, what does that feel like? What does that look like? What does that taste like? What does that smell like? You know, get very granular with this visual vision, because you're creating this image of the person who you want to be. And I think when you do this letter, it's also going back to your daily life, it's easier to make choices. Because I'm also asking myself, is this bringing me further or closer away to the person, to the mom I want to be, to my goals, to my dreams? And that's also going back to like why I'm 61 days alcohol free, is because I continuously evaluate my life. What is bringing me closer to my goals? What is bringing me further away from my goals? And alcohol, bringing it back into my life, was not bringing me any closer to my goals. And I think that's when it's easier to disconnect from those behaviors that will not support your goals. And I think this is such an important part of the weight loss process, to really have that connection of who it is you want to be, how you want to feel like, what you want to be doing, how you want other people to see you, because it's making that connection where it's deeper and it's a bigger concept than just weight loss. Okay, so let's get to the fun part. This is what I love to talk about. And what I'm going to talk about is the bare minimum action. So your body's working properly, you've really connected with who you want to be, how you want to see yourself in the future, what that looks like, and now you're ready to get to the nitty-gritty and just start. And it's so simple as that. It's just starting. And you're like, what the heck is the bare minimum action? I talk about this on Instagram all the time, and I will stand by this until the end of time. I truly believe that it starts with committing to the bare minimum action. Once you understand that this is not about overnight success, this isn't about extreme lifestyle change, and you really truly understand that this is a journey. This is a journey that's going to keep progressing and evolving over time, and get it out of your mind that it's not about dropping 5 pounds in 10 days, you know, whatever extremes that we think is possible because we've been brainwashed to believe. This is about starting somewhere. And like a baby, you know, they crawl before they walk. Building a house, you build a foundation before you build a house. And the bare minimum action is the foundation. So let's say you're like, Allie, I have never connected to running. You know, I hate running. I hate going to that workout class. And I will admit, for me, my enjoyment of movement has changed so much. Like, I go through so many seasons as far as what movement I want to do. And with my postpartum journey, you know, the movement, really all I did was consistently walk. You know, that was like the biggest consistency in this last journey of mine of losing, you know, over 45 pounds, is I just committed to walking. Now, don't get me wrong. Some days, you know, I did weights, you know, probably once a week I did some weights, but it's not about following this, amazing workout plan if you're just starting. It's truly about just doing something. And when I was losing 70 pounds a couple of years back, where like I was starting from nothing at all. Again, it started with walking, and that walk gradually became a jog. And then gradually I loved running. Like I fell in love with running. And then some months I started doing Lay Mills Pump, like that workout program. And I fell in love with that. It was just whatever I truly wanted in that moment and in that season in life. I will say right now in my season of life, I love tennis. There's something about whacking a tennis ball and the dopamine release that you get from tennis. And I think another big game changer for me is being outside in the sun. Guys, call me controversial, but the sun is your friend. You know, plants need sun to survive and thrive. You know, we need the sun. Now, I am not saying go just stand outside the sun all day, every day and bask in it. Obviously not. But we've been made to believe that we must hide from the sun. And I'm telling you, the sun, first of all, it helps with your circadian rhythms. You know, like going outside first thing in the morning sets your day up. Obviously, you're getting the vitamin D. Going for a walk when the sun is setting, you know, again, supports that circadian rhythm where you understand that, you know, it can help release certain hormones like melatonin and stuff, wind you down. So again, not a professional doctor, but I can tell you something. For me, being out in the sun, at least for like 10, 15 minutes in the day, and those hours that I play tennis have been such just a mood boost for me. So what I really encourage you is I want you to define what your bare minimum action is. What is something that brings you a little closer to the person you want to be that is so achievable and doable that you can do every single day, even when you're tired, you're stressed out, you know, work is crazy, baby's not sleeping, you have all the things to do, you're going on vacation. What is it that you can do, the bare minimum action, that brings you a little closer to your goals? For me, my bare minimum action changes and it evolves, but for the week, like my bare minimum action is just walking for 5 to 10 minutes. I do 10 squats a day. Like that, I'm on a kick of that. Like just 10 squats a day make me feel like I did something. Something is better than nothing. And then I'm striving for 8 glasses of water a day. Let's say you're not really drinking water. Maybe it's just drinking 1 glass of water is your bare minimum action and going for a 5-minute walk. But do you get what I'm saying? If you're starting from absolutely nothing, you have to start somewhere, and it's really movement that is going to kind of launch this connection with how it really supports your mental health and how it changes your body, and weight loss will follow and all the things, but you have to start somewhere. Another thing is having the connection and understanding and awareness of behaviors that are bringing you further away from your goals. So one of the things, and just like, let's talk about the nutrition food side of things. Let's say you wake up every single morning and you're putting 3 scoops of sugar in your coffee. Well, we know enough that sugar and processed food keep the weight on, right? You know, it supports weight gain. So sugar also attacks your brain. Just a little side note. Again, we will dive deep into this on the podcast this season, but 3 scoops of sugar in your coffee is obviously a behavior that's bringing you further away from your goals. So something that I really support and suggest doing if you want to lose weight is start slowly reducing. Slowly reducing. I will say it again. Slowly reducing. Not just cut out sugar from your coffee. I'm talking about just slowly reducing. So if you're doing 3 scoops of sugar in your coffee, try 2.5, you know? Try 2.5. And then maybe after you got the hang of 2.5 tablespoons of sugar in your coffee, the next week, maybe try just 2. You know, slowly reduce. We constantly go back to this thinking where it has to be all or nothing. And I promise you, I'm with you. I get it. I'm guilty of it too, but I think with weight loss, it really has to be a progression of small changes in your lifestyle, and it will stick with you. It will become sustainable. And that's where it's like recentering the focus, where it's not just about weight loss. What's wild to me is some of my coaching clients, they do that selfish mom challenge that I'm sure you've heard me talking about. And I just tell them, you know, commit to your bare minimum. So the bare minimum I set for my coaching clients is I say 8 glasses of water, a shake in the morning, and at least a 5-minute walk outside. I kind of define everyone's bare minimum, but that's really the 3 bare minimum habits I establish for people. And I have had a group of people, not everyone, a group of people just truly focus on that. You know, maybe they signed up for the challenge for weight loss. You know, that's what they thought they were going to be doing with this challenge. And they switched that mindset and just did the 3 bare minimum actions and really just focused on that. They did nothing else. And I had a girl lose 11 pounds by just doing those things. Because what happened is that 5-minute walk slowly progressed into 10-minute walks. You know, she realized when she drank a little more water, she was drinking less of like soda, you know, and then she realized on the weekends that she wanted to do something. So she actually went to a workout class with a friend because she wanted to feel good and like keep it up, because she started feeling good. Do you get what I'm saying? The bare minimum action starts evolving and it starts stacking, but it's truly making the connections of how movement and foods make you feel, you know, the good and the bad, what's loving you back and what's bringing you down. And it's bringing that awareness into your life. So these are all great starts of how I started and what has continued evolved in my life. Another thing with weight loss that I think consumes us is the scale. We step on the scale and it's just this mind game. And what I've also realized, and I do this too, and I'm realizing this is definitely a thing amongst us women, is that we will go on vacation. We will obviously live our lives on vacation, do all the things, or maybe we went like out to dinner, had wine and, you know, enjoyed ourselves. And the next day we step on the scale. Like, why? That is self-sabotage. Obviously, the scale is going to go up and down, especially on vacation and when you're enjoying yourself. And then we love to self-sabotage ourselves, step on the scale, and then we're just in this mind slump. You know, we feel so terrible and awful about ourselves. We just had the time of our lives on vacation, but we need to beat ourselves up about it and feel guilty about it because the scale changed. And for me, I am being completely 100% honest with you. I have not weighed myself since I did that full body scan. And that's something that I really encourage you guys to also do. For me, it costs $35. There's a business in Lakeland. I believe it's called Balanced Wellness, but she's someone who also tests hormones. And if you're not local, I know these like businesses exist nearby where you go and you do the DEXA scan, and it's a full body scan. For me, it costs $35. And it doesn't just measure weight. Like, it breaks down your number on your scale. And it measures like your body fat percentage, your muscle mass. It takes measurements of your arms, your legs, your bust, your stomach, all the things. And shows, you know, measurements like my left side was a little larger than my right side. You know, but it really gives a very, just a breakdown where that number doesn't seem just like this negative thing, you know, and I love that, especially because I set a goal that it's not the weight I want to lose, really, it's the body fat percentage and building up my muscles. So that gave me more of like a tangible goal where I'm not just focusing and beating myself over the changes in the scale. Because another thing is, after I lost the 70 pounds and I brought in weights into my life, I was the leanest, like looking wise, I was very lean, but the scale, I weighed like 125, which is a lot for my body, like my height, but I was very lean. So muscle, you know, you might be gaining muscle and that scale goes up, but then you're beating yourself up because that scale goes up, but you're getting leaner. And that's why I'm just saying this, the scale, it's not good for our mental health. I would truly try to set a boundary, whether it's, you know, only weighing yourself once a month or only on Monday mornings, you know, if you must weigh yourself. But for me, that was such just a bad vibe in my life, the scale, that I have just done away with the scale in general. And the way I measure my progress is through photos. I love measuring progress by how clothes are fitting me. Like, that is such a just a rewarding, realistic goal. And again, you know, you could be losing inches and the scale doesn't change. So I just want to remind you of that. Just to recap, how to start losing weight after you have made sure your body is working properly, you're getting the adequate sleep, and you're becoming aware of, you know, weight loss being more than just weight loss, making that connection. You want to keep making that connection of who you want to be, what does that person look like, what are they doing, and really make the connection that you want to prioritize your mental and physical health. And this just isn't about weight loss. I promise weight loss will come and happen when you make these changes. It will follow, but it really starts with that mindset and that connection. The last thing is the bare minimum action. If everything has not worked for you in the past as far as weight loss, take my word for this. Try the bare minimum action. I think another biggest thing is giving yourself grace. That has been like my theme throughout my entire postpartum journey, is some days I don't feel like I did enough and I have to give myself grace. And that's where the bare minimum action comes in, is you commit to that bare minimum action where you might feel like it's not enough, but it is if you're consistently committing to it and doing it. And that's where you have to tell your inner critic to shut up and say, I am doing enough. I did my bare minimum action, and give yourself grace and go from there. And with the bare minimum action, what's beautiful about it is it keeps evolving. Once you've mastered your bare minimum action, maybe it's a 5-minute walk, you know, one more glass of water, a shake in the morning, whatever it is, go to the next step and add it in. But you have to start stacking these habits rather than just thinking overnight you're going to just start all these extreme habits. It doesn't work. It's why you're not losing weight. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Selfish Mom Podcast. I am so excited for what's to come in this season. More professionals, more perspective to dive deep into. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening. I will catch you next week on the Selfish Mom Podcast. Go be that selfish mom that you deserve to be. Go prioritize your mental and physical health and just be a better person. Bye.